got Cruz, 35, 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown Giants!
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up, gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul to the 10, to the 5, touchdown Giants!
There goes Wilson again, trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go! He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants! 97 yards!
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course you.
Yeah, hello. What happened there with the microphones? Having some trouble?
Can you hear me?
I got you, Anita.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and as I said, you, 201-939-4513 is the phone number, 201-939-4513. You want to get in. It is a Friday morning. We're with you. We're with you until 10:30. We're with you for an hour, talking all things Big Blue as they get ready for preseason game number 2 against the Colts. You can also find us on Twitter at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat, for any questions or comments. That's what you want to do. Practice today, 1:30 to 3:45, so you can come out. It's a beautiful day here in New Jersey, so I'm not sure exactly who the autograph session.
No, I don't know who it is either, but I will tell you folks, the guys are in shells today, and this will be what's known as a carded practice because they're going to do somewhat of a preparation for the Colts. So
right.
It's not full hitting, not full pads, not the best practice to see, but the best weather to see practice. It's going to be 80 degrees.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day out here. So Paul and I will really break down. We're going to really dive into this Colts matchup. Again, the game is not till Sunday here at MetLife Stadium, but nonetheless, we're going to dive into it, talk a little bit about the Colts, what you can expect to see from them as well. But Paul, you've been here all week. This is my first day back since Tuesday. What's the hot topic? What has been the hot topic at camp for the past few days?
Well, there have been two. One is Terrell Thomas, who continues to look good and appears like he's going to be able to make it back from that third ACL. But, of course, we really won't know, Anita, until he gets on the field in a game. And that's the question. Some people think he should play a few plays against the Colts. Some people think they should hold him out for another week and play him against the Jets. I'm not sure how I feel about that. I think it's something that the trainers and the coaches and obviously Terrell Thomas have to figure out for their own, but I will say this. I'd like to see him get a few snaps in at least one preseason game, wouldn't you?
Well, from what I understand here at practice, he's been really covering Victor Cruz out of that slot position, right? Is that predominantly that's where you've seen him?
The last couple of practices, they've worked him more against Cruz and against Nix, and he's done a good job holding up. So, I mean, what else does he have to prove until you throw him into a real game? I don't know. My inclination is maybe hold off one more week and play him against the Jets. That would probably be the way I'd go, just to give him another week to get acclimated and make sure everything is okay, because you and I both know if Terrell Thomas has another setback, it's probably the end for him. So I'd go another week if I had to.
But, I mean, what is it for him to come in and maybe have a series or two? I mean, I'm not saying, granted, the majority, preseason game number 2, and if you did, there were 4 great games that were on last night. If you did watch them, starters, a lot of guys got at least a quarter. Because this is Terrell Thomas's first game back, maybe you just give him a series or two just to kind of get his feet wet and then give him a quarter against the Jets. I really don't see what the big deal is.
I'm kind of 50-50 on it, whether or not it's this week or next week. The bottom line is I'm convinced he's got to get some snaps, and it better be by week 3 of the preseason, because the coaches have to make a decision as to whether or not he's going to be on the 53.
I would like to see him play, because keep in mind with the Colts, Andrew Luck, we know he has Reggie Wayne. Last year, T.Y. Hilton kind of hit the scene pretty strong. This year, I think he's going to have a monster year personally, but he's battling with Darius Heyward-Bey right now. So I'd like to kind of see Terrell Thomas go up against somebody else other than just Victor Cruz. The two guys obviously know each other, and see what he can do against T.Y. Hilton, of course, coming out of the slot, or Darius Heyward-Bey. If Darius Heyward-Bey does play, he tweaked his knee. If he does play, to see what he can do against those two guys. Just some different talent.
no doubt it would be a bigger challenge to play the Colts than he would be against the Jets. I mean, let's face it, Anita, without being too insulting toward Gangrene, playing the Jets receiving core and the Jets quarterbacks is not exactly a real difficult chore. So I understand what you're saying. This would be a better test for him. I think the thing that they're concerned about is, to this point, he hasn't taken more than half the reps in practice. That's where they've kind of stuck his ceiling. No more than half. You know, we're not going to give you the full load yet. We're just going to give you half. And I suspect they want to see the durability of his knee and of his hammy before they put him in a game and say, okay, now you have to explode at 100% on a given play. Look, like I said, either way, this week, next week, bottom line is Terrell Thomas is going to get on the field soon, and the Giants need to find out what he's got.
Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, 201-939-4513, the phone number. Also, we're monitoring Twitter. You can find us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Any questions or comments about the show? Paul, sticking with the DBs, let's talk about Antrell Roll. He sheds the boot.
Yeah.
Okay.
After a day.
Yeah. But that's Roll for you.
Oh, yeah.
But talk about Ryan Monday and what he's been able to show you since Roll's been out and he's been in.
Interesting deal with Ryan Monday, because he comes here from Pittsburgh with a reputation as a big hitter and a great special teams guy, but not a guy who's supposed to be very good in coverage. Well, now, I think it was you who actually said to me a couple of weeks ago, you got to remember something. When he was in Pittsburgh, they had to have him mimic Polamalu, which is a hard thing to do. Polamalu's all over the place. And to replace Polamalu when he was out of the lineup, you've got to get a significant drop-off, no matter who you are. So maybe that's part of why the Pittsburgh people were so disappointed in Monday. Not because he necessarily wasn't that good a player, but because they saw such a drop-off from their all-world safety. I mean, I think Polamalu's got a chance to make the Hall of Fame, quite frankly, indeed. I think he's that good.
A chance? Are you kidding me?
Well,
like, you're even like, I think he's a first-time...
Okay.
He's in. Like.
All right, so points.
Same with Ed Reed. I think, no doubt. I think both of them.
I would. But
yeah,
there's always somebody out there who says no, so I'm trying to be nice about it.
I think that's a no-brainer.
Point being, you sub for a Hall of Famer, there's going to be a drop-off. That's all.
Right.
And so what I'm being told here from the Giants coaches, as well as what I see in practice, is that Monday is a very heady player. He seems to be very willing to mix it up. And he seems to have the defense down a lot better than some people thought he would, because Perry Fuel, he's mixing in a lot of 3-4 and a lot of different things that the Steelers have also done in the past. And so the transition has not been that tough for him. And so, you know what? He's going to play, and the Giants will get a good look at him. But I guarantee you one thing, Antrell will play against the Cowboys in week one.
I'm sure he will. What's the timetable in regard to him being back at practice and possibly playing in any preseason games?
I don't think you'll see him in any preseason games.
Okay.
But I do think the week of the Dallas game, he'll probably take some practice snaps, regardless of whether or not he does. I talked to Roll yesterday, and he will play week one against Dallas. I mean, that is hands down 150% certain. It doesn't matter if he's 80%. He's going out there.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul, we've got some callers on. Let's head out to New York. James, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello, how are you guys?
Great.
Hi. Do you guys think Akeem Nicks will have one of his breakout year like he did a couple 2 years ago?
Well, you know, Nicks had back-to-back 70-catch, 1,000-yard seasons until he got really derailed by injuries last year. So it's not too much to expect that he would have something along similar lines. Anita and I have talked about this before. Where his numbers finally lie, which, of course, is what fantasy football people want to know, is going to depend a lot on how the Giants' other weapons progress, because they literally have so many people that they got to get the ball to. But in answer to your question, is Akeem Nicks going to have a big year? Yes, I believe he will.
I think he's going to have a monster year, personally. I know a lot of people are kind of on the fence about him just because he did not attend any of the OTAs. He did attend the last mini veteran camp that took place before they went on vacation. And also, he's had that tweaked groin that kind of kept him off the field early on here at camp. But I think that was just being precautious. He's in a contract year. And you look around the league. It was interesting. I went down. I was looking at a number of the guys around the league that are in a contract year. It's so risky entering in the season in a contract year. Look what happened with Jeremy Maclin with the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, this is a guy that is a legitimate number one with the Philadelphia Eagles, was looking to make Mike Wallace money, $10 to $12 million a year, and he goes down with an ACL injury. So chances are next year he's going to have to prove himself. He'll come back for maybe a $2 or $3 million one-year deal to prove himself and then try to get back into that number one wide receiver money if he can prove that he could put up the same numbers he did before his injury. Same thing with Dennis Pitta. Dennis Pitta was in a contract year. He goes down with a hip injury. He was another one looking to make anywhere between $5 to $7 million next season. And there were talks at the Pitta camp and Ozzie Newsome were in negotiations to extend his contract. Now what's going to happen? Now he's going to have to come back and prove that he's the same Dennis Pitta, the tight end that Joe Flacco can count on. So keep in mind, it is a risk but a huge reward. On the positive side, look what Joe Flacco did. Joe Flacco, contract year, won a Super Bowl MVP, and is now the highest paid quarterback per year in the NFL. So it is a risk reward. I think Hakeem Nicks is just being cautious right now, but I think Hakeem Nicks is on tap to have just a monster season. I'm looking at over 1,000 yards, and my over-under is 9 touchdowns, and I think it's going to be at 9, if not over.
Yeah, I'm with you on that 100%. I mean, I feel very, very good about what Hakeem Nicks is going to do this season. And quite honestly, you know, if he had had a Hakeem Nicks season last year, had been healthy and put up those kinds of numbers, you and I both know the Giants would have been in the playoffs, unfortunately.
201-939-4513. Let's continue with our calls, Paul. We go to Sharon. Sharon, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hello. My question, well, I heard some of the other answers about Entrell Role and Nicks as far as playing against Dallas. But more importantly, what about JPP starting against Dallas?
Well, that still remains to be seen. You know, JPP's been doing a lot of stuff with the trainers on the side. I saw him doing some more agility drills again yesterday. And
okay.
He looks like he's
okay.
Moving around really well. But, but you know, to say he's going to play against Dallas again, as Tom Coughlin has mentioned several times before, that's a bit aggressive. Is it possible?
Okay.
Yes. But it's also a bit optimistic and a bit aggressive. That doesn't mean it can't happen. Look, here's what I'm going to tell you. If JPP does not play against Dallas and he does not play against Denver, don't cry. Don't be shocked. Don't be surprised. He misses a game or two. He misses a game or two. I mean, certainly they'd love to have him against the Cowboys, but I don't think it's a disaster if he's got to miss a game or two because they just want to make sure that that back is okay.
Well, let's talk about DeMontre Moore because this is a guy that's really been impressive. I can't wait to see him on Sunday night. You saw what he was able to do in preseason game number one. I think that's going to carry over to preseason game number two. And not that I'm comparing DeMontre Moore to JPP, but it's nice that the Giants and their scout team went out and drafted some great young talent at the defensive line position that if they need to ride DeMontre Moore out to come in and play that defensive end and get after quarterbacks while they're waiting for JPP to get healthy, he's looked really impressive.
What I love about what DeMontre Moore did against Pittsburgh last weekend, Anita, is that he wasn't doing it against the scrubs. They had him in there against primarily the twos of the Steelers. Not the ones, I understand. You know, he got a couple reps against the ones. But a lot of the twos also. It wasn't the threes and the fours, you know. These guys are quality NFL players who were going to be on the roster. He didn't do it against scrubs. And he looked damn good.
Yeah.
Damn good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, the silver lining here, the gray cloud, obviously, is that JPP had to have back surgery and not sure if he's going to be ready for regular season game one. The silver lining here is that there are a number of talented guys on this roster. Let's talk about Colin Jenkins. If you did tune into the MSG Giants training camp live show yesterday, I had an interview with defensive coordinator Perry Fuel, and the smile on his face when he was talking about Colin Jenkins. I know Colin Jenkins is listed as a tackle on the roster, but when I asked Perry Fuel about the Giants tinkering with the 3-4 defense, which at first he really didn't want to talk about, but then he had a smile on his face. He mentioned Colin Jenkins and the fact that Colin Jenkins has played that defensive end position in the 3-4 and is just thrilled with what he's seen from him. So, yes, I can understand why Giants fans are concerned about JPP and his back and him being ready for a regular season game one, but there is a lot of talent that Perry Fuel is playing around with on this defensive line.
And, folks, I'm going to say something that I think we said last week on the show, and it is, you look at the Giants' schedule, I still think the magical week for him is 3. If he can get back in 3 or less, he'll be on the 53. If he can't get back in 3 or less, they're probably going to have to pup him. That's the over-under deal in terms of him making the opening day roster.
201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Steve in Staten Island. Steve, welcome.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you today?
Hi.
Good morning.
All right. Hey, listen, and I want to talk real quick about the offensive side of the ball. I was listening to what you were saying about Knicks, and I got to tell you, I think you hit it right on the head. But listen, I called you guys, I don't think you remember, last year after that Eagle game, and I was raving about Reuben Randle, and I'm going to tell you this year, that guy is the dark horse of the team. I'm telling you, this kid, he's going to make it. Listen, every Giants fan last year that I know, buddies of mine all said it. He missed Manningham. Okay, it's ancient history. It's gone. Good luck. Reuben Randle's going to make you forget that. This kid is going to be quiet storm on that team. I'm telling you, you're going to see more double coverage on guys like Cruz and Knicks, which is going to free Randle, and this guy's going to make a lot of things happen.
Steve?
I think the offense is going to put up big points this year.
Steve, you got to give me a second here because I appreciate Reuben Randle's skills and talent. He's a terrific addition to this team. I'm sure he's going to make a lot of big plays. But when you talk about replacing Mario Manningham, you have to talk about that deep threat, that home run ball, that straightaway speed that can stretch a defense. That's what Lewis Murphy provides. He's going to be more of the Manningham style of guy than Reuben Randle is going to be. Reuben Randle is more of an Amani Toomer type, more of a Michael Irvin type, not the burner who's just going to run downfield 50 yards and take a safety or a corner with him. That's what Lewis Murphy's going to do.
I thought Murphy was a phenomenal pickup. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to take anything away from him. I'm just telling you that, God forbid, somebody should get hurt, whatever. I think Reuben Randle, he's that guy that can just plug any hole on that receiving core. And I'm telling you, this guy's, if Manny can get this kid the ball a lot, I would love to see the numbers he puts up at the end of the year.
You know,
thank you very much for taking my call, guys. Good
Steve,
luck.
Steve, thank you for the call. Let's rewind here with Reuben Randle, because we've been talking about what a great camp Reuben Randle's been having. But you hit the nail on the head. You said the camp is great, but let's see what happens in a game, okay? Because as Allen Iverson likes to say, we talking about practice. We talking about practice. Okay, it's not a game. It's not a game. Well, how did Reuben Randle look to you in preseason game number one?
Not so great.
Exactly. So I'm really excited to see what Reuben Randle is going to do on Sunday night against the Colts. I want to see his practice performance translate into game time. That is really crucial. I think a lot of Giants fans are hearing about how great Reuben Randle's looking at practice. He's hauling in all the passes. The chemistry between him and Eli Manning is off the charts. I mean, in regard to fantasy football, and a lot of the fantasy football segments that I've done, I get more questions about Reuben Randle than I do about Hakeem Nicks. And that's because all the buzz around Reuben Randle. But it needs to translate into a game, Paul.
Did you see the pass down the left sideline in the game against Pittsburgh? Randle did not get a good release. And as a result, the pass was overthrown. That wasn't on Eli. That was on Reuben Randle. You know, that ball's going to a spot, and Randall's got to get himself out there. And he didn't get a good enough release on the up and out. And as a result, it went for an incomplete. And I know Tom Coughlin was disappointed because he's thinking to himself, that could have been a big play. And, you know, Randle did not get it done.
Now, let's talk about Lewis Murphy, because when in the caller, Steve, again, thank you so much for calling in. Really appreciate it. He talked about the replacement for Mario Manningham. I think the Giants' offense hurt tremendously last year because you did not have that type of speedster. Mario Manningham stretched the field. Mario Manningham really, even though he was the number 3 wide receiver, he made defenses play honest. They had to, because they could not give up that deep threat with Mario Manningham. To me, I'm looking at Lewis Murphy coming in to being that type of player for the Giants. But I know a lot of Giants fans are looking as Ruben Randle as being that person. Your thoughts on that role that I think the Giants missed last season, who's going to fill that void? Do you think it's going to be more Ruben Randle, or do you think it's going to be Lewis Murphy?
It's got to be more of Murphy because of his straight-ahead speed. Right. And I'll tell you something else about Lewis Murphy that people really don't know unless they watch him carefully, and I've watched him carefully. At least in training camp, he's a pretty good blocker for a receiver. So it won't hurt to get him on the field in four wides because he can take guys on the edge, which, as you know, is a big deal for Tom Coughlin. If you're a receiver, you better be able to block off the edge, or he's not going to get you a lot of snaps. He values that almost as much as he does with a running back picking up pass protection. It's part of the game that people don't understand because the guy doesn't have the ball in his hands. But it's a big deal. And I've seen Murphy do a pretty good job at camp.
Well, it's interesting because I've gotten into a few debates about Riley Cooper and in the situation that took place in Philadelphia.
Oh, boy.
And the fact that he was only gone for a few days, a weekend really. He went down to Florida to vacation with his family. There's some reports that he didn't even go through counseling, comes back, and is immediately working with the first team.
He skipped the counseling, huh?
Well, okay. Skipped, didn't go, whatever. That's neither here nor there. That's not the point of my story. My point of my story is he came back on Tuesday and was immediately running with the first team. And where I'm going with this is that in this Chip Kelly system, which we saw a little bit last night in the preseason game with the Philadelphia Eagles, Riley Cooper is such an intricate part because not only did they lose Jeremy Maclin and Aurelius Benn, so that means that Riley Cooper is going to be counted on a lot as their, you want to say Deshaun Jackson is their number one. I think Deshaun Jackson's still going to be in the slot. Riley Cooper very well can enter the season as their number one wide receiver, but the way that he can block downfield is one of the best in the NFL.
He's good.
And so Chip Kelly, the Philadelphia Eagles, got a lot of heat and negative, really, comments from the fans and whatnot because of what Riley Cooper said, Paul. But it just goes to show you when a coach values a player, maybe that player comes back a little bit earlier. Maybe the negative connotations of what that player might do off the field is overlooked because he wants him in that system. And that's a big key, is wide receivers who can block downfield. Because Riley Cooper isn't screaming. Riley Cooper isn't a Mike Wallace. Riley Cooper isn't a Hakeem Nicks. But what he can do as a blocking wide receiver downfield in that system is priceless. Probably one of the best in the NFL.
Well, it's very important because LeSean McCoy is very good at getting to the second level on his runs.
Right.
And it's every block that Riley Cooper makes that turns a 5-yard gain into a 12-yard gain. So, you know, folks, I appreciate the fact that a lot of you probably don't watch those other things. Everybody wants to watch the ball. I get that. Anita and I know from sitting in the press box together, we do a lot of watching away from the ball. And, yeah, that's a very big deal. So, anyway, the point that I wanted to make about Murphy is that at least what I've seen in training camp, he looks to be a better blocker than I ever thought. And that's going to get him on the field. And so if the Giants are going with four wides, how big a smile do you think Eli Manning's going to have in the pocket when he looks out there and he's got Cruz, Nicks, Randle, and Murphy, and Myers? Hey, baby, who am I going to throw it to?
Yeah, if he has enough time. My concern is going to be who's going to be the running back that's going to be back there helping him with Max Protect.
Cross your fingers.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. We continue with our calls. We go to Lawrence calling in from Florida. Lawrence, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hi, thanks for having me. During the week, people were talking about the preseason games. It was, maybe getting rid of one or two of them and all that stuff. But I remember, especially the PDOT, remember back in the 70s, they used to have six games.
Yep.
And they had Don Crickey and Tucker Ferguson with the announcers. They had the theme song. Dun, 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 dun,
I remember
dun,
it well.
Dun, dun.
Hey, Tim Ryan did the games for a while, too, remember?
Oh, yeah. And then I remember the one year the Giants won. They were undefeated during preseason. They were 6-0, and they just beat the previous world champion Steelers.
I certainly remember it. Yep.
And Gary Jeter was in the locker room Gary Jeter was playing Ain't No Stopping Us Now in the locker room, and then they said, someone said, turn it up, Jeter. And then meanwhile, they went and lost six or seven of the first games, and Bill Armstrong got fired.
The only thing I will say about the preseason is that Tom Coughlin would certainly rather win preseason games than lose them, but he does keep in mind the fact that you're just trying to find out who is going to be on your 53. Bill Parcells was probably more concerned with winning preseason games than any head coach I've ever been around. And that's because Bill believed in a winning mentality. He said you have to build that winning mentality. You have to get it at its very root. And you have to get guys feeling good about themselves and each other in the preseason so that they are hand-slapping and back-slapping and fanny-slapping. Because when they feel good about themselves and their teammates and they win preseason games, they're going to take that into the regular season and they're going to feel good about everybody else. And so Bill really subscribed to that theory. Look, the guy won two Super Bowls here. Who am I to argue?
That's true. But my main concern in the Giants preseason is when they play the Jets. Because it always seems like when they play the Jets, somebody gets hurt. Remember they used to have the Jet-Giants scrimmage every year back in the 70s? And Brad Benson got hurt at the Jets-Giants scrimmage?
The annual Jets-Giants preseason game started when they merged anyway back in 70, and it's been going on ever since, and there's certainly a lot of charities involved in benefiting from that game, so it's great that these teams continue to play each other. But yes, there have been times where that game has turned into a real steel cage match, and it's gotten chippy. I'd prefer that didn't happen. I'm sure the coaches prefer that as well. But I also think it's probably good for the preseason that the two New York teams who do share the same building play each other, because it does add at least a little bit of interest to what is a four-game non-entity to a lot of people.
201-939-4513, the phone number. Paul, I asked you, I said, you know, this week what has been the two hot storylines? You said Terrell Thomas being one of them. Is he going to play against the Colts? If so, how much time is he going to get? Should the Giants maybe hold him out until the Jets game? That's the third preseason game. What was what's the other story? The second story you said that's been pretty hot this week.
Well, the other one that a lot of the guys have been really looking forward to is getting first round draft pick Justin Pugh on the field. You know, he was unable to play in Pittsburgh because he had suffered a concussion a few days earlier. And the Giants were just like, okay, that's it. You know, you're out. I mean, you got to pass all those NFL tests before you can get even back to practice, but never mind getting into a game. And so Pugh's going to have a chance to actually play this weekend for the first time. He will make his pro debut. He's very anxious to do so, very excited to do so. He has played some left tackle and right tackle over the last week or two, since he's been back from the concussion. And, you know, let's see what the kid's got. You know, he's been okay at camp. Been okay. He's made some rookie mistakes, but he's been okay. In the meantime, David Deal is foaming at the mouth, and it looks like right now he's going to be able to fight him off to keep the starting job.
Have you had a chance to talk? What has been the biggest difference? Because for the past 2 years, Deal has kind of been on the cuff. I mean, you know, he's had some good games, bad games. There's been a lot of inconsistency when it comes to David Deal. This year, I mean, granted, I get it. Competition, you light a match under a guy's derriere, things change. The Giants going out and drafting Justin Pugh in the first round. Deal, what did he do? Have you had a chance to talk to him? How did that make him feel? What did he do this offseason? Why has David Deal made this total turnaround and really come out this season and be a man possessed?
David Deal's lost about 10 pounds without giving up any strength. That's first and foremost, so obviously it helps his speed and agility. He also had knee surgery right after the season last year and worked his butt off to get his legs back in shape. And, as you say, the Giants went out and drafted a first-round tackle and lit a fire under him, realizing that, hey, you know what? If I really don't come to play, I'm going to lose my job, and I may even be kicked out of the league. I mean, David Deal took a pay cut to stay with the Giants. They obviously made it very clear to him, look, if you don't get your number down, we're not going to be able to keep you anyway. And so Deal agreed to that and said, all right, I'm going to take the cut, but I'm going to fight like a demon to show you that I still belong in this league. And he did not go to Croatia this year. For the first time during his offseason since he became a Giant, he did not go back home to his native Croatia. He stayed here the entire offseason and worked on his physique because he said he was that determined to make sure that he was able to play this year at a good level or a high level and a level he was accustomed to. So he's a man possessed. He really is.
201-939-4513. We go to Rhode Island. Jeff wants to talk about the linebackers. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Anita and Paul. How are you doing today?
Hi. Great.
Good. I just had, I got three questions for you. First, Adrian Robinson, you think that he's finally getting it? And how about, have you seen anything from Kyle Bosworth or Jake Musau? Are they going to be strictly, you know, training camp fodder? Or what do you think about either one of those guys?
Well, right now I don't have Bosworth on my final six linebackers, nor Musau. I think Musau is probably practice squad eligible, so that's a possibility for him. Bosworth is not. He's primarily a special teams player. And although the Giants linebackers haven't exactly been terrific during this training camp, I just don't know if Bosworth can crack the lineup. In terms of Adrian Robinson, well, Anita, the times you've been in practice, I know you've been very happy with him, and the coaches have been too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's looked tremendous. And we say this all the time, the NFL is a copycat league, and you see the success that a number of teams are having with that two tight end set. Let's rewind here for a second, because there's a lot of talk, and I've read a lot about Henry Hanoski and him aiming to come out and be ready for regular season game one. How realistic is that, Paul?
I don't know that it is, although Henry swears that he's going to play against the Cowboys. The fact that he still hasn't gotten
out there.
Everybody
swears they're going to play against the Cowboys, Paul.
Well, they love to hate the Cowboys.
I know. It's great. It's awesome.
And it is. And what a great thing that they open with Dallas so that you can have that kind of passion for your opponent. I just don't know. I mean, again, he's doing well in agility drills, but Anita, he still hasn't practiced yet. And until he gets out and practices, I can't believe anything.
And this is where I'm going full circle with this. Because Henry Hanoski has not been able to practice at the fullback position, Bear Pasco has filled in for Henry Hanoski and has been the number one fullback with the first team. Now, that has opened the door for Adrian Robinson to come in and kind of showcase his talent. So I wonder, because that opportunity presented itself and Adrian Robinson has produced, if Kelvin Gilbride is now like, whoa, okay, there's a plethora of talent on this Giants team. This is something that maybe we can tap into as well, using that two tight end set and using both him and Brandon Myers as more receiving tight ends than blocking tight ends. But I'm sure part B to this is Eli Manning's protection. You know, how well is this offensive line going to play where you have the luxury to utilize two tight ends in this offense as receiving tight ends and not having to keep someone home to make sure that Eli Manning stays upright.
This first string offensive line is going to have to earn the trust of the coaching staff by opening day if those things are going to happen, Anita. And what we don't know right now is Chris Snee's yet to play. He'll play probably some snaps this weekend. Remember, he came off PUP because of the offseason hip surgery. He's got to get back to being Chris Snee again. We pretty much know that Beattie is Beattie, and I think Booth is Booth. I mean, those guys are pretty steady in terms of what they do. Deal's going to have to continue to show that he's playing at a higher level. And obviously, David Bossett, center, is also going to have to stay healthy and play at a high level. If those guys can pick up their game as an offensive line above what they had done last year, the Giants may be able to weather some of those storms with the lack of pass protection from the tight ends and or the running backs. But if the offensive line struggles, that's going to be a problem because the domino effect is going to come crashing down on Eli Manning. And I might add one other thing to you, Anita. The other day I talked to Bear Pasco, and he told me flat out, he's preparing to play fullback opening day against Dallas. In his mind, he's thinking Henry Hanoski's not coming back.
Right.
Regardless of what Henry says, okay?
Right, right. 201-939-4513. What would a show be without Lynn, which we haven't heard from yet, but he still has a good 25 minutes to get in on the show, or Shakes from Baltimore? These are our two regulars. Shakes, welcome to the show.
Hey, Anita. What's up, Paul?
Hey.
What's going on? They said y'all ain't got too much time, so I ain't going to take too much of it. I just had two questions, and I'm going to get off the line and let y'all talk. My first question is, of course, like, I was, like, the first person to ever mention Charles James on this show. And I had brought John to attention of him, and he liked the kid.
Oh, Shakes, come on now. Come on now, Shakes. Give me more credit than that. Give me more credit than that. He was my dark horse from rookie minicamp.
No. Go back. Go back to the tape. I'm telling you, I was the first one to mention his name. But I wanted to know, do you see him making his team? And the second question is, I'm seeing a lot of reports on this hybrid 3-4 defense look that we do. And they had one that said it was Jenkins at the end, it was Rodgers in the middle, and it was Joseph at the other end. And then the linebackers was Tuck, Rivers, Curry, and JPP or Matthias. That sounds like a good little formation. So I just wanted to know how y'all felt about that formation too, and I'm going to get off the line.
All right, well, first of all, Charles James is in a real battle against a veteran named Trumaine McBride as the last corner on the roster. And that, of course, is all going to depend on how many they keep and what they're going to do with Terrell Thomas. James is practice squad eligible, and I think that's very important to note because McBride is a six-year veteran, primarily played with the Bears. He cannot go to the practice squad. So if they really like what he's doing, he may sneak on as the final corner if they keep six, and then James is likely headed to PS. Now, that's a luxury that they could have with him. As far as what you said about the 3-4 thing, well, the guy who's done more standing up in that 3-4 formation during training camp than anybody else is Justin Tuck. JPP, I don't know where you got that from because he hasn't practiced yet. So for you to say that, you know, he'd be in that formation, that's strictly a guess right now. We have no clue as to whether or not he's going to be part of the stand-up package or not because he hasn't been on the field. But Tuck has done more of the stand-up than anybody else. We have seen Kiwi do a little, but not very much. I think once or twice I saw him stand up. It's primarily Tuck that's doing that. And DeMontre Moore has also done some of that as well. Look, right now it's just a different look the Giants are experimenting with. I think you'll continue to see it during the preseason and in practice. Perry Fuel told you the other day, Anita, that, you know, we're going to see how it goes. He's not married to using it. I think it's going to be a mix-and-match thing and maybe trial by error, a trial by fire. And if they try it and it doesn't work, you'll probably see it scrapped, you know?
201-939-4513. Also on Twitter, Giants, hashtag Giants Chat. Here's a question for you, Paul. This is from the Tax Man, actually State Man 1952, wants to know, who's your dark horse to make the team this year? Give us a name. Who's the one guy that is not on everybody's radar, who you think has really performed well so far that you think is going to make the team?
Well, the shame of it is the guy at rookie minicamp who I had was cornerback Charles James, who Shakes just talked about. He was the dark horse that I pick every rookie minicamp who's going to sneak onto the roster and or practice squad. I still think James will make the practice squad at the very least, so I'm probably going to get another hit there. But in terms of the 53, you know, do you consider a seventh-round pick a dark horse? I mean, that's the last round of the draft. I think Michael Cox right now has put himself in pretty good position to make the 53.
Oh, he's looked great. What are you expecting? How much playing time do you think he's going to get against Pittsburgh?
I bet you he gets at least a quarter. You know, Darrell Scott has a mountain
climb. Against the Colts.
Yeah, that's right. Darrell Scott has a mountain to climb. Scott has lost ground to Michael Cox, who, by the way, is also playing on special teams.
Right.
He's tried to do some kick returns. He's tried to be gunner on kickoffs and on punts. Michael Cox is doing everything the coaches want him to do, I think including get the Gatorade after the game and after the practices. He wants to make this team.
How does he look in pass protect?
Not a great idea to ask him to do that. He's behind in terms of the standard offense. There's no question about that.
Do you think this is going to be an issue moving forward in the NFL, Paul, with all these teams? You've got Stanford, you've got Oregon. Obviously, David Wilson coming from Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, is this going to be an issue that now the way that colleges are running offenses, you've got running backs that are coming into the NFL that do not understand pass protection and do not know how to block?
It's scary to me, Anita, how many of these guys just want the ball because that's all they know. And, look, a college coach will tell you it's not his responsibility to prepare a guy for the NFL. He will tell you, I'm here to win. I got to turn over these guys every 4 or 5 years. I've got to keep this going. This program is got all this money coming in from these alums. I got to make the bowl games. I got to get the attendance up. It's not my job to make sure that Joe Schmo is pro-ready for the next level. It's not my job to teach him to pass protect. I'm going to give him the ball. He's going to run for 15 touchdowns for me, and that's what I need. I don't need him to pass protect, so guess what? I'm not going to teach him. The college coach will tell you that.
Right.
I'm telling you because I talked to college coaches who have said that very same thing to me.
Right.
So we have a problem because now you've got these guys who come into the pros who clearly have missing elements to their game. And now it's incumbent upon the NFL coaching staff in these rookie camps and in these flag football type of training camps to somehow coach these guys up. I mean, Anita, you tell me. When you could barely hit a fly in training camp, how are you supposed to get a running back toughened up to where he's able to take on a blitzing linebacker or even a defensive
end?
It's
not going to happen overnight.
No, it's not.
I mean, it's something. Granted, look, these guys are extremely talented. They're athletic. You know what they can do in the running game. But especially in the NFL, a running back's responsibility is 40% run. Actually, okay, running back. 60% run, 40% block. Okay? Agree or disagree with me?
Oh, sure.
A fullback's responsibility is more 70% block, 30% run.
Maybe even 80.
Maybe. But, again, you've got that 40-60, 40% responsibility for running back in the NFL is to block. And the majority of guys that are coming in, and obviously, as Paul's alluding to, a lot of it dictates in regard to what system they played in college. And the majority of the systems out there are this, like, high-octane, fast-paced, spread, read-option offense that a lot of these offenses are
playing. The stuff you like to run.
Yeah. It's fun. Did you watch that Eagles game last night?
Saw lots of it, yeah.
Man,
saw lots of
it's fun.
Yeah. I get it, but ultimately, then the coaching staff that you have in the pros is going to have to do it. Hey, look, there's one good thing about this for the Giants. Coach Ingram. Coach Coughlin, these guys are really good at what they do. And if anybody can coach these guys up, it would be them. I trust these guys with these players to at least give them a sporting chance. Now, the other part of that is the player has to want to do it. And David Wilson last year as a rookie came here just wanting to carry the ball and didn't have the maturity and the understanding and the wherewithal to understand that he needed to crack the books and to get this other stuff down quicker rather than later.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Jason in Montana. Jason, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. You're on with Paul Dottino and Anita Marks.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You guys kind of took my question that I was going to ask about the running back situation. I definitely agree that Darrell Scott, I don't know, last game really didn't look too good. And to be honest with you, he didn't look really all that motivated, he just didn't look like he was running all that hard. I guess the question that I'll have now is Jarrell Jernigan. I mean, him or Kevin Hardy? How's Kevin Hardy doing? I mean, I've been hearing some stuff about him.
Hardy's had a pretty good camp. You know, he's out of the Citadel, first-year player. Has caught most of what has been thrown to him. Not a spectacular player by any stretch of the imagination, but the kind of under-the-radar, consistent, productive type wide receiver that every team likes to have on the back of their roster. He did catch a nice 29-yard sideline pass from Ryan Nassib in the fourth quarter of the Steelers game that led the Giants to their final field goal. So that certainly was a good sign for him. I would suspect right now he's probably headed to the practice squad. I do think they'd like him enough to keep him around, especially since Brandon Collins is going to have to serve a suspension. I think Collins is probably a little bit better of a receiver. But, you know, again, with that suspension, you know, his availability is going to be nil at the beginning of the season anyway. So, yeah, that's my take. I think Hardy's a fringe guy, but he may be practice squad.
It's what I say. A show is not complete unless we hear from Lynn. in Maryland. Lynn, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live. How you doing, my friend?
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you. You know, and I was listening, and I was what I like to do is kind of get a feel for where callers are going, and then kind of, you know, carry it on in that direction. But that's why I always seem to call in the last 15 or 20 minutes of the show. But God, I don't want to, you know, change subjects too quickly, because you guys usually get on a roll and everything's going good, and then I come in and ask some, you know, some dumb question that's not related.
Oh, come on, Lynn. Give yourself more credit than that.
Hey, listen, here we go. I got some. What I was jotting down was I was starting to, you know, first crack at some team goals. You know, I got 11 wins in the back of my mind. And how do we get to 11 wins? I got 85 scores. I think we need to score 85 times during the season. And what I want to ask you is, does this team have 50 touchdowns in it? Offense, defense, special teams. Can Brown get us 35 field goals? That's my 85 scores for the year. That's 5 scores per game, 3 touchdowns per game, 2 field goals approximately. Gives us 27 points. I think if we can average 27 points a game and be consistently around 27, we're going to win a heck of a lot of games. Are those numbers too out of line? I know this is kind of out of left field for you. You haven't been sitting down doing basic arithmetic, but let's start with 50 touchdowns. Does this team have 50 touchdowns in it?
If the Giants average 27 points a game this year, they should be a playoff team. But I also warn you that doing that means keeping Eli upright and healthy. And that means,
yep,
that means A, the running game has to be productive, and B, the backs are going to have to help block. Now, these are things at the moment we cannot bet our mortgage on.
There you go. I'm hoping for 35 touchdown passes, 350 completions. I'm rounding off, obviously. But a touchdown pass every 10 passes from Eli.
Well, more important, how about the fact that they maybe just keep their turnovers down and keep their penalties down? How about that?
Well, that would help. I don't want to be sitting there with 30 seconds to go in the game. We got 27 points and the other team's got 26 points and the ball.
No, I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to be flippant with you, Len, but
no,
the truth
is,
I can live with Eli throwing 25 touchdown passes if he's only going to throw 10 picks, and if the Giants are going to be one of the 3 fewest penalized teams in the league, you know?
Right.
Those things
right.
will add up to a deep playoff
yeah.
run. So let's not get too carried away with putting up pinball numbers if they're committing 11 penalties a game. If Eli's got 20 picks, that's not going to work for me.
Okay. I always like to see points on the board. The more points, the better, Paul, in my mind. I just want to see him score. I want to see him roll it up, and that's where I'm coming from with the 50 touchdowns and the 85 scores. And, of course, 50 touchdowns and 85 scores means Brown's got to kick 35 field goals, but I think, Paul, if we can get – I think I'll go one better than you. I think if we can average 27 points, consistently average 27 points a game, with the defense that we have, Paul, I think we can go not just into the playoffs. I think we can go deep into the playoffs.
All right, Len.
But the key is stay healthy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the key for every team. Lynn, thank you so much.
Anita, let me ask you something.
Thank you.
We've got the Giants schedule up here on the wall. As you look at that schedule – which of those defenses would concern you the most if you were the Giants? Understanding that right now it looks like they may have trouble with some pass protection because of the back situation. But they do have dynamic skill position players who can take advantage of some of these teams that don't have a good back seven.
At Dallas, DeMarcus Ware coming off the end.
Yep.
That worries me.
Agreed.
Denver's defense, I think, is going to be really fantastic.
Good thing, though, that Dumervelle is gone and Miller's out with the suspension.
Yeah, and good thing that Denver's playing here. I don't think people realize how difficult it is for players to play at Denver, especially that altitude and the lack of oxygen. It really does affect a team. And I don't think enough is really said about that. Not too worried about Carolina. I heard Kansas City's defense is going to be pretty
Better.
Good. I think they're going to be pretty solid. Not really worried about Philadelphia's defense as much as I'm worried about their offense, mm-hmm. Especially after what we saw last night. Chicago, they lose Urlacher, but they still have a number of talented guys. Julius Peppers, of course, Lance Briggs, Tillman. So
that could be a little tough.
And that's at Soldier Field.
Primetime game.
Yeah, so I think Chicago's going to be tough, especially Julius Peppers coming after Eli off that corner. Minnesota, not really worried.
Jared Allen doesn't concern you.
No, not anymore.
Okay.
What has Brown done for you lately? What has Jared Allen done for you lately?
Yeah, I know, but again, I'm thinking of teams that have a real dynamic pass rusher who could give the Giants trouble.
He hasn't done much lately. Okay. I'm not too concerned about that, and that's here, mind you. Oakland, not too worried. I think Green Bay is going to have a solid defense. I think Washington is really going to pin their ears back and really get after Eli. That's and they play them twice in the last 5 weeks of the season. That worries me. But probably the one defense that really stands out that I think is going to be absolutely superb this year, and that's Seattle. And Seattle's here. So the last 5 weeks of the season, the Giants take on the Washington Redskins twice and Seattle on December 15th. And that Seattle game really frightens me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The Seattle game is a cause for concern, no doubt. But I guess to Len's point about the 27 points a game that he's looking for, on the basis of what you just saw on the board and what I'm looking at on the board, the Giants are facing perhaps no more than a fourth or maybe even a third of their schedule of defenses that look like they could cause a matchup problem for them.
Washington, Seattle, which Washington they play twice. That's two games.
Right.
Seattle, Dallas they play twice. That's five games. Green Bay.
I'm going to say Chicago.
And Kansas City. So I'm looking at five. In Denver, I'm looking at nine games.
Oh, so you're going to go that high? See, I'm putting the category of hey, really concerning, and then somewhat concerning. I'm putting Kansas City in the somewhat concerning category.
I think Kansas City's defense is going to be a lot better than you think. And also keep in mind, Paul, they're playing at Kansas City.
Yeah, that's tough.
Kansas City is probably one of the top three locations most difficult to play at.
Love going to Kansas City.
Yeah,
great stadium for a game.
So.
All right, so maybe you think it's as many as half of the defenses could be a matchup trouble.
Another thing, keep in mind, like I don't think people realize, like special teams plays a major role in regard to how many points a team could put up. There's only so much time in a quarter. There's only four quarters in a game. If you're spending a good 5, 7, 8 minutes on a drive to put up 7 points, that takes a lot of time off your clock. When you look at teams, if you look at scores where, you know, obviously – like last night, Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco, 77-yard touchdown reception. You know, obviously there's moments in games like that, but field position is so important. If you're looking at really locking up high-scoring games for the Giants, I think their special teams, their kick and punt returns have to be solid, where the starting position for the Giants is like the 40, 45, 50-yard line. If you're looking for that type of high-scoring octane offense from the Giants, because they're more meticulous.
And right now, we don't know who the punt returner is, and we believe that they're going to try to wean David Wilson off the kickoff return game. So that is definitely a cause of concern.
Let's try to get one more caller in before we end the show today, and that's Steve in D.C. Steve, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. You know, I have been listening. I just want to say really quick, because I know I'm the last caller. First of all, I agree, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before with you, Anita, in reference to, number one, I appreciate you calling Paul out on the Tyler Fest, and he really hasn't done much. And, you know, I have a couple questions. I'll take them off the air. So I'm just wanting to know, you know, how you see the safety position shaking out as far as who we're going to keep, number one. And number two is, can you kind of touch on the health of Corey Webster? You think he's in danger of losing his spot as far as a starter? And I just want to know, first of all, I'm sorry, guys. I lost my whole chain of thought. A lot of good calls there. I pretty much kept everything I wanted to talk about. But I really just want to know, you know, where Justin Tuck was with his health and where Webster is.
You got it.
And I'll listen up there.
Thanks for the phone call, Steve.
Well, Justin Tuck is back at practice and apparently over that back spasm thing that he had earlier last week. So that's not much of a concern right now. At least I don't think so, unless it flares up again. Corey Webster was back in practice again yesterday. He had, or should I say 2 days ago, he had had some sore groin issues, but that looks like it's behind him. And so he's looking for a big bounce back year. They're looking for that from him. And so, no, I don't think he's in danger of losing his starting job right now. As far as the safeties are concerned, well, since Anita knows a lot more about the safeties than I do, according to the caller, maybe I should let you talk about the safeties. He's with you on Tyler Sash, who, you know, I'm not a Tyler Sash fan.
I wasn't either.
But his point was that what Sash did against Pittsburgh the other day should, I guess, not have been enough to at least merit consideration. All I'm saying is that you've got Will Hill on the suspended list for the first four games of the season. You've got Antrell Roll right now, who's gimpy going into the regular season. All you know is that Brown and Mundy are your two available healthy safeties at the moment. Sash, who did some good things in Pittsburgh, again, I'm not a Tyler Sash fan. I would have said there's no way he makes the 53 coming into training camp. But he may find a way to sneak on, given that particular set of circumstances, if he continues to produce over the next 3 weeks. Remember, he also does play special teams, and that always gives a guy an extra leg up on the competition.
Again, this has been Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino. Paul, some final thoughts. This is the final show, obviously, before Giants fans see the Giants take on the Colts here at MetLife Stadium. That's Sunday night. I believe kickoff 7 p.m. Right?
It is 7 o'clock. A Sunday night 7 o'clock game. Very odd kickoff time.
Okay.
No, they usually kick off at 8 o'clock on Sunday nights, right? Sunday night football.
Yeah, but it's preseason.
That is true.
So, but your thoughts on...
God,
what,
do I miss Faith Hill.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what Carrie Underwood is...
Well, this is a Fox game anyway. It's not even an NBC game, believe it or not.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, but let's give Carrie Underwood a chance here, an opportunity.
There is no substitute for Faith Hill.
I agree with you, but, you know, I like Carrie Underwood. I think she's
God bless her.
She's a pretty good girl. I want to see what she's going to bring to the table. Now, is she going to have the sex appeal as Faith Hill? I don't think so. But let's see what she can do. Now, back to the Giants.
Yes.
Taking on the Colts, before we do sign off, kind of give our listeners out there, what should they be paying attention to? The Connor Herzlich battle at linebacker, the Carr and Painter battle for the number two quarterback spot, how much time is Nazib going to get? What are some of the give us a laundry list of stuff we should really be paying attention to in the game?
Well, I'm just going to build off the couple of things that you just mentioned, Anita, because all of these things are really appropriate for week two of the preseason. But the two things that I think the Giants coaches really, really, really want to see are how are they going to do against the run? Because last week against Pittsburgh, while the interior run defense was pretty good, off the edges, they just did not get the job done at all. And it's not going to be acceptable if they're going to play that way during the regular season. So let's see how the run defense steps up, specifically off the edges. And then on the other side of the ball, what is the power running game going to do? Is it finally going to show up? You know, last weekend against the Steelers, about the only semblance of a running game they had is when Michael Cox was darting through holes late in the game. They need to do better with their starting unit and even their second unit with their power running game. They got to get back to being Giants. They got to get back to playing smash-mouth football. They got to get back to pounding people. That offensive line needs to find its rhythm. And I don't think they had it last week against the Steelers. And one of the reasons may have been, as you said to me many times before, Anita, you know, we knew Mike Tomlin and the Steelers were going to play smash-mouth. He runs a very rigid and rough training camp. The Giants tend to be a little bit more on the laid-back side of training camp, and maybe that's why the Steelers had more tempo. But the Giants better get their tempo in order against the Colts.
Okay. Final thoughts? That's it?
That's all I got for today.
All right. Hey, listen, we appreciate you tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. We'll be back on Monday to recap the Colts-Giants game. Again, that's Sunday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. For all your information, make sure you log on to Giants.com for interviews with the players, the coaches, and make sure you tune in tonight to the MSG show. That's on at 6 p.m. Eastern time on MSG+. Paul Dottino will be hosting with
Roman Oban and you.
Oh, is it Roman?
Yes, it is.
Oh, fantastic. So you'll be hosting with Roman. I'm going to speak with Curtis Painter today as well as Jerron Hosley. Those interviews will be on the show, and then I will join you guys, I believe, for a segment or two with some Twitter questions. So make sure you tune in tonight. We're going to have a great show for you. Have a fantastic weekend, and enjoy the game on Sunday.